This morning. Just every time I get invited, there's some sort of a transition with your pastors. I don't know what's going on here. And then the pastors that are here, they never show. I don't know what's going on. Am I that scary? I guess if you have struggles looking at my youth and saying, wow, he's a preacher, you could probably close your eyes and just listen that away. But if I start hearing noises like snoring, Jeannie has ways to wake you up. So beware. We're going to be going to Joshua chapter 24 here this morning. Going to be hitting the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 24. On verse 14 through 15. Some of you are wondering, because last time I was here, I was actually living in Flint, Michigan. And you've all heard stories about Flint, and they're all true. They're all scary. But God protected us even until our last day there. We were moving our last pieces of furniture last year, December 7th, and they had just sold the house the night before next door. And all of a sudden, my wife starts hearing some breaking, shattering next door. And the construction worker that had sold the house, they had just sold it, and he came by and he told us, if anything happens, call us, please, because we just sold this house and we want it to, you know, go through, because it's very hard to sell in Flint. And so she told me that I needed to go outside and see if there was anybody in that house next door. And I'm just thinking to myself, is this really a good idea? Is this wise to go outside when somebody could be breaking in next door? But I went outside and I started faking like I was picking up things in my yard, and I was looking inside the house, and there was someone inside. They were breaking windows. They were trying to steal what was ever was left in the house. And I guess he didn't find much because I'd called the construction worker. He says, he's in there now. I said, yes, he's in there. What do you want me to do? Are you going to call the police? You want me to call the police? He says, call the police and I'll be over right away. So I called the police, and as I'm describing this person, because I could kind of see him inside, he is evidently done and starts walking outside. And so I'm like 20 feet away from this guy. And so I'm describing him and his, get this, a gold minivan. If I was a professional thief, I think I'd have a different mode of transportation. But he had a gold minivan, and I was describing him and just slowly backing up into my house. And then as soon as I got done describing, I called my friends and said, get your hind end over here. I don't know what's going to happen, but God protected us throughout it all. And now we're in Silverwood. And if you were to liken that to another town, I guess you would say kind of like a Wanaco. It is that small. You blink and you miss it. And so we're actually outside of town. I'm pastoring a country church. It's called Dayton Center Church. It's going to be in its 150th year of service this next year. So I'm pretty excited about that. But I've been there just a year and I love it there. Church is growing and it's good to see God work. In mysterious ways sometimes, but it's good to see him work. But we're going to be going to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14 through 15. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you as we end this year of 2014 and we begin the next one, 2015, that you choose the right thing. You choose God. The Israelites were faced with this choice and this passage. And Joshua told them what they were going to do and they had to make the decision themselves. And so I want to tell you what I'm going to do and you have to make the decisions yourself as well. But I hope it's all the same thing. I hope we all choose God. Because that's the only reasonable thing out there. The only thing that makes sense is to follow after the God who created us. The God that sent His only Son to die for us. That way we may live eternally with Him. It's the God who desires a relationship. I hope we all choose that today. But Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14 through 15, it says there, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this great day you've given us. Lord, I just ask you would be with Pastor as he is in another place, he and his family, and enjoying Christmas with them. Lord, just give them the safety as they come back soon. Lord, just be with my church as well, as in they're wrapping up their service at the moment. Lord, be with Chad as he is preaching. Lord, just help us here in Taylorville that we will choose you this day, and that we will continue to choose you. Lord, that we will live out the gospel. Lord, help us to focus, no distractions, Lord, in your name. Amen. In looking at this passage, Joshua is choosing for his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I look at this, and I think of myself, and I have a daughter now. I don't know if you've met her, but her name is Riley. And she's going to be 2 on the 11th of January, and it's hard to believe that she's growing up so fast. She's ornery like her father, and she's got the looks of her mother, so that's good. Praise the Lord. But I think of her and the responsibility that I have over my daughter. She's going to choose for herself whether she chooses God or not, but while she is in my home, I choose God. While she's living underneath my roof, she's going to choose God and doing what He wants. At least that is my hope. My wife, I have the responsibility of her. It says in that passage. And if you're wondering who my wife is, you could look at the picture in the bulletin, or she's right back here in the white and the green, and she is the better looking half. Again, thank God. Right? You didn't have to answer that, all right? But anyway. When I think of her, and in the Bible, it says that she is to submit to her husband. That doesn't say that we are unequal. We're equal and that God loves us the same. But He has chosen in His way of things to make the head of the household the husband. And you say, you get everything. You know, as the head, you get to choose everything. You know what? Being the head of the household is a very scary thing. Because I am responsible for my wife and my daughter. It's very scary, and I will answer for it. And so you say at 24 years old, soon to be 25, I will have to choose for my family who I will serve. Now, have I been a perfect father? No way. I'll give you a little illustration here. As we were getting ready for Father's Day, we had a father-son meal at our church on the Saturday before. And my wife and I and Riley were in the church, and we were getting some things ready. Well, we headed back to our house, and as you head, our house is actually on the other side of the road. Now, this road is a country road, and it's just like Illinois roads, where everybody has to speed around and go 75 miles an hour. You know how that is? Well, this one, there's a stop sign not too far down the road, but they think it's a game to get as fast as they possibly can coming up that hill. You know, it's just they go as fast as they possibly can. So it's kind of scary having a child walking across that road. So you really have to watch out. Well, we crossed that road, and I got distracted. And sometimes I think that I have ADD, but I got distracted. And with somebody that came in, I started talking, and Keely says, well, Riley's going to stay with you. She wanted to stay with me. So I said, okay. And Keely started walking toward the house. Well, then Riley, you know, she was walking at this time, and she says, or she started darting for Keely. So I yell out at Keely. I said, Riley's coming. Well, Keely didn't hear me. Well, Riley started heading that way. And I helped this lady that I was talking to. I helped her take in some food for the meal. And I go downstairs, and I'm just talking away at the people that are down there. And I'm just, you know, not even paying attention. Well, 5-10 minutes later, I was like, well, I better go finish up and get ready. So I head up the stairs. And there I look at the doorway, and our doors are see-through at the church. I look through, and there's Riley standing there. So in that time, she had tried to go after Mom, but then Mom got in before that Riley could get inside the house. And Riley decided, well, Dad's going the other way. So she decided to go, and she crossed the road by herself. And she was standing outside that door for 10-15 minutes. That scared me. And no way am I a perfect father. I make mistakes. I make wrong choices. And I still have also the leadership of the church. I am responsible for them. What are you responsible for? Your decisions that you make. Do you choose God? Or the other option is these other gods and what you call little g gods. So in this passage here, we have this choice. I actually called this chosen service. But we have this choice. And first of all, we're going to talk about the little g gods, okay? The gods of our fathers, little g. It says there in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods, these are the little g gods, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. So these are the gods that were false gods that they served on the other side of the flood. And they also served in Egypt. And they also go into the next verse, and it starts talking about the gods of the Amorites. And he says, if you're going to choose them, you better choose them today. If you're going to choose to follow them, or you're going to choose to serve them, you better choose it today. Make the decision. Don't try to ride the fence. Make the decision here today. But I wonder, we should ask this question. There's a couple of notes that we can make on this. Where did these little g gods get the Israelites? You look back to what happened, and if you go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we've got a couple of passages we're going to run over to, and I'm just going to briefly go over them. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, you all remember this. You've gone over this with the story of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and it says there, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What happened to those that were following after the little g gods? They became wicked. Every single thought, every intent, everything within them desired evil. That's where the little g gods get you. That's where God. And then what was the end of the story? You all remember the end of the story. They all get destroyed by the flood, the global flood, not a local flood, but a global flood that took every single life that wasn't within the ark, the ones that chose the big G God, the one, the true, the only God. So this is what they had chosen. Look what happened. This is where it got them. But you go over to Exodus, the next book, Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. He talks about the gods of those before the flood, the gods of the Egyptians of when they were in Egypt. It says in Exodus 12:12, it says, "Therefore I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." You know where the little g gods got them while they were in Egypt? Well, all the little g gods got smote because he is God. You know how this plays out? You know that every single plague was against one or more of the gods that the Egyptians had? Every single plague. And I'm going to murder these names, but the water turned to blood was Happy, God of the Nile. Again, excuse my pronunciation here. The frogs was Heket, the frog god. The lice from the dust of the earth was Gebs, God of the earth. The flies was Uatchit, the fly god. The disease on cattle was Hathor, Ptah, and Ammon. The boils was Isis, the god of medicine. The hail into fire was Nut, goddess of the sky. The locust was Sinahim, locust-headed god. Darkness was Amon-Ra, son of the sun. Death of the firstborn, Pharaoh himself. These were all the little g gods that God himself smote with the plagues. He proved his power over anything that we could place ahead of him. They had nothing to go against them. Now, I don't know how this new movie, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a new movie called Exodus, Gods and Kings, something to that extent. Don't rely on that for being biblical truth. Because if it's anything like the Noah movie, the only thing that they got right was Noah was there and he had an ark. It was a joke. So please don't rely on that. Rely on the word of God for the truth. But you look at this, and every single thing that they relied on, that they chose to serve, was defeated by God himself. Just the idea. Were they real or true gods? No. But the idea of these little g gods were defeated by the true God, the true and the living God. You go from Egypt and what had happened to all of them. I mean, you learn of the destruction of the Egyptians. I mean, how they went from the top-notch country in the world, the empire of Egypt, to how low they went. How much that they lost. That's what happens when you mess with God. That's what happens when you try to put something above God. You look at, he also mentions the God of the Amorites. You notice he mentions the God of the Amorites there. And if you think about it, if you think about the gods of the Amorites, they were already defeated because the Israelites had come in and they had wiped out so many in that area. So it comes down to the fact of choose you this day who you will serve. You know, choose these things that you put before God that have no power, that can do nothing for you. You want to choose God. There's another thing that we could bring up in this fact that throughout the time of the Israelites, you go before the flood, you go in Egypt, and you go where they are now. You notice that they kept falling back to the false gods. You think they would have gotten it. You think that when manna falls from the sky, you think when water comes from this rock. You think that when the waters are divided, you think that when Noah and his family and all these animals were saved by the ark, you think when all of the different acts that God had done for the Israelites, and yet they always turn back to the false gods. What note do we bring from that? We bring the fact that it seems like we just don't get it. That God is the true God. And we say, shame on you, Israelites, but what about me? How many times am I shown that God is real? How many times can I see the miracles of God and look back into God's Word and see all the things that He has done and what He's going to do? How can I, when Jesus came and He suffered, He bled, He died, He was buried, and He rose again? How can I at that moment say that I'm going to choose some other thing to put in front of God? And you think the Israelites had it bad? Think of me, who they hadn't even had Jesus Christ to come and die for them. I'm doing a lot worse. But here Joshua stated that if it was, you go into verse 15 of Joshua chapter 24. It says there in the beginning, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seems wrong to you after God defeated the gods of before the flood, before the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of the Amorites, after God had defeated all those and after God has done so much for you, if you think it's wrong to go and serve them, okay, then choose them. Choose them today. That's the challenge that He's given. So what does this have to do with me? I haven't, in my experience with David, I haven't found him ever bowing down to a Buddha. Unless it's, you haven't, right? I just want to make sure, okay. I haven't ever seen Seth. I mean, he gets excited about, killing deer and stuff like that. But I never seen him bow down to some idol that he's made up that has all these funny little arms sticking out of its body and putting sacrifices to. I've never seen it. So you say, well, how does this apply to us? This is Old Testament, right? Does this even apply to us? Yes. It applies to us in the fact that there are so many little g gods that we put before us, God Himself, that we think that is so much greater than Him. That we will spend more time on, more effort in. And sometimes as you look at the race that is set before us, we have sins in our weights. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we have our sins in our weights. You know, there's the things that just automatically defy God, but then there's also things that weigh us down that may be good things in and of themselves, but they weigh us down and they hold us back from going to our true potential for God. A good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes the main thing. Do we have any little g gods in front of us? Reflect. See in your life, what would you rather go towards than God Himself? What keeps you from reading the Word of God every morning? What keeps you from coming to church? When you say, well, we've got live stream now, we don't have to worry about that. I can still get the Word of God. There's a verse that says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. And how many times has God mentioned in Him the Word of God, the local church? If He's mentioned it that many times, I think it's important to Him. And I'm pretty sure that if Jesus Christ died for the local church, it's important to Him too. So do we make it that important? Do we make it important to get here? You know, I noticed in just about every church in America that you go to, Sunday mornings is your highest attendance. Sunday mornings. Sunday school, oh, you can take it or leave it, right? Sunday mornings, highest attendance. And then Sunday nights, oh, you know what? I've got too many other things to do. You know, whatever. I've got episodes to watch. If I miss my episode, then I won't know what's happening next. What if I miss the sport? I guarantee you, I love sports. In fact, I've got one of my teammates right here in the back there today. We played soccer together. I love soccer. Do you know where soccer got me? Hurt knees. I am not a professional athlete. You can ask him. I just have hurt knees now. How much did it bring me more towards Christ? What kind of little Jesus and sports? I loved it. It could be a good thing, but when we put it before Jesus Christ, it becomes an idol. Choose you this day who you will serve. So we go into the next part. We got the bad part first. Now we're going to go to the good part, okay? You like the good part? Bad news, good news, okay? The God of our fathers. That's what we're going to deal with next. Goes there in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You go back to verse 14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord, truly respect him, and serve him in sincerity and truth, not just this empty duty. Talked about it with the teens today in Sunday school. And how we could do all these different things, and if we do it without love, it's empty. It's pointless. The Ephesus church was going to lose their candle in Revelation, because they were doing all these things, but they forgot their first love. They forgot their first love. So in looking at this in sincerity and truth, truly choose God in truth, in sincerity, be sincere about it, be in a relationship. You know, my wife and I have been married for 3 years. And again, in no way am I perfect. You just ask her. Okay, I fail a lot, but I know that if I want my relationship to continue, I better be in it. I better be self-sacrificing. I better get rid of some of the things that are me. Get rid of it and love her. Self-sacrifice. Be in the relationship. Put profit towards it, put fruit towards it, to run after it. They say, well, you're still on your honeymoon after 3 years. Oh, we're past the honeymoon stage, believe me. In a relationship, you have to put so much hard work into it, otherwise it's not going to survive. And you know what? God and the relationship that He wants with us has put His own Son into it. That's an investment that outdoes anything that we could ever do. Would you be able to sacrifice your firstborn for me? No way. I wouldn't do it for you either. That's my daughter. I love her. I'd do anything for her. I'd do anything to protect her. But you know, when it comes down to God, He loved us so much, even though we were enemies, He sent His Son to die for us. He's always perfect on His part in a relationship. What are we doing on our side of the relationship? So we come down to this question here. Are we going to choose God today or not? Choose you this day who you will serve. You see, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9, we don't have to go there, but it says there, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." This is repentance. This is true sacrifice. And to go from, it's talking about the new church in 1 Thessalonians, this new body of believers, and how they went from, and it spread all over Macedonia and Achaia. It spread all over. Everybody knew about it because of their testimony, and how they turned from their idols into the true and living God. You know, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, it says God described as the God of, it talks about how God is described as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why they're talking about him being the God of their fathers. Okay, he's mentioning, he's bringing them back to all these stories that they know. Okay, they knew their history, unlike a lot of Americans today. They knew their history of what happened to their country, what happened between them and God. They knew about it. So all he had to say, "Hey, look to this, look to that." And they knew who won out the day. That was the true and living God. And at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, if we look to his, or if it talks about how, let's go there right now. Joshua chapter 1. You want to know how we choose God? Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. Some of you have memorized this verse. It says there, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I ask you today, is your job going to be with you forever? If you look up at Flint, and what it was, I don't know if you visited it when GM had its factories all over the place. You go up to Flint, Detroit area, Saginaw, all that area, and you look up and how many worked at GM. And then when GM went kaput, all those people that were waging their lives on having this job, this good paying job, now Flint happened. Where you go up there today and all you see is empty concrete fields, factories that are run down, graffiti everywhere. Because they had all kinds of factories built based on GM. And then when it all went out, the city went from 200,000 to 100,000 people. I imagine in this economy, and from what I hear, it's going to get a little bit worse. Because it sounds like they're going to get a little bit loose with loans again. From this economy, how many people lost their jobs and had to move away? How many people can't find jobs? How many young people are employed right now? Can you trust in the job? Can you trust in the government? Can they always bail you out? That's a touchy subject, isn't it? Can you depend on media? Can you depend on all your hobbies? Can you depend on that to always be there for you? Can you have a relationship with your phone? It seems like some people do. Neil made me get rid of mine today, but because it looked shabby, I guess. How many times are you looking at it? They've come out with this new syndrome. I forgot what it was called, but it was something to where you were just worried that it was vibrating. And so you just had to look at your phone and you look at it 60 times a day or 30 times a day. How many does that happen to you? You have to be on it. You have to post the brand new thing on Facebook, Twitter. And I don't even understand half the stuff nowadays, but. And I'm a young person, okay? I don't understand it. How much can it take over our lives? He's saying, well, Facebook could never be a god. I see people posting every 30 seconds. It's usually this day who you will serve. What about a girlfriend or boyfriend? How many times have we seen people quit coming to church because they've got a new relationship? Because somehow they're more important than God Himself. There's so many things that we could put out there. So we're faced with this challenge to choose this day who we will serve. Choose God or choose whatever you can place before Him. But I guarantee you, the little g God will fail. The real and true and living God that we could develop a relationship with, that's where there's success. When we meditate on His Word night and day, when we search Him, when we love Him, that's when we have success. Not by the world's standards, but by God's standards. And then one day we can stand before Him and say, you just come before Him and hopefully hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd rather hear that than you could have done a lot more. Could have done a lot more. So, faced with this challenge, coming into the end of the year, don't wait. Don't make it your New Year's resolution. Start now. Start now. This is the time. Because if you wait till your New Year's resolution, you'll forget about it. Sometimes New Year resolutions are a joke anyway. We always forget about those too. But just start now. Make this your life commitment to choose God. And men, it's a man standing before you. It's time to take charge. It's time to take charge. Be the man you're supposed to be. Be the leader. Choose God. Choose God. A couple of notes here with leading men or anybody that's in leadership. One can't lead without taking action. And one can't lead when no one is following. That's something Pastor McPhillips told me when I was interning with him. He says, you know, you aren't a leader when nobody's following you. So men, take that charge. Everyone, take that charge. We are faced with this. What are you going to do with it? Choose God or choose self. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this great day You've given us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the challenge. Lord, use these words. I myself is not enough. It has to come through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us Your grace. As we continue through this day, help us to choose You. In Your name, amen.